thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Melanie, on a slightly more serious note, why did you choose, well, first of all, the three songs that we've just sung? The three songs that we have sung tonight were chosen by each of the girls. So you chose God, You're So Good. Could you tell us why that's important or special to you, please?
That was the first song when I started going to church that actually spoke to me, and it made me cry. It gave me the goosebumps, and it was the first experience I'd ever had of being so emotional. Wow. With a worship song.
Lovely.
So it's special.
Lovely. Thank you so much. That's great. Okay, we'll get into the questions that have been prepared. Sharon, we'll maybe start off with yourself. So can you tell us a bit about your childhood and how you ended up meeting Alan, and also tell us a little bit about your family, please?
I grew up in Portrush. I have an older brother and an older sister. Sister sitting there. Our father died when I was 8. And Jenny was 15 and my brother was 19. So it was only in later years I realised I grew up in a single parent family. You know, this is just how it was. So there wasn't a lot of money about, although in those days nobody really had a big lot of money. It was a happy enough childhood, no problems at all. I used to, whenever I was being called in for my dinner, I used to run. So Jenny used to run after me and then wallop me. You did stop denying on it. Yeah, so I met Alan at 15, many, many years ago. I met him at the Arcadia. Some of you will know and have frequented it. It wasn't the most romantic night.
Is Alan here, by the way?
No.
No, okay, so you can say things I got there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a very good friend who was dating a fella from Corian. So a crowd of them come down and there was a crowd of us. So Hilda just went, "You're with him, you're with him, you're with him." So that's how I met Alan. So that was 15. We got married at 20 and had two boys and a girl. So we did. So the eldest is in the army. He is in Kathmandu at the minute. Zane, who is obviously Amy's husband, they live in Ballymoney, and Shona is in Liscommon as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much. B, where are you from, and what was life like growing up for you, and also how did you meet William?
Okay. I was born in County Tyrone. I am number 5 in a family of 11 children. I was born into a family with a very strong work ethic. So as long as I can remember, I was always busy. My father was a farmer, and he also had a sawmill. So from about the age of probably 6 or 7, I would have been helping out in the mill, handing up sticks, cleaning out sawdust pits, as was my siblings. And from about the age of 12, I was milking cows and doing anything else that needed to be done. We didn't have a lot, no benefits in those days. But I do believe that my upbringing shaped me for future years when things were difficult. My father used to say to us, "Look after the pennies, and the parents will take care of themselves." I went to Auchinlochlory Secondary School, which is just on the border, and probably the headmaster of the school that I went to was one of the first part-time UDR people murdered in the Troubles. And after that, I went to Dungannon Technical College. And when I left school, I went to work in the office in Finlay Engineering, which is just about a mile from where I lived. And nobody left you to work. You walked there and you walked home. I met William through someone who knew him. Their cousin knew me. We had experienced similar pain and circumstances. So after 7 years, we got married in 1996. We've been married now for 27 years. And to date, we haven't had a row.
Wow. I think that deserves some applause. Does he make you milk the cows here?
I did milk the cows up until a few years ago.
Okay.
He said, we can't lie in our beds on a Sunday morning and you're milking the cows. So
there you are.
I took on a different role, which
yes,
here in the next bit.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Melanie, tell us how you met Ian. Was it love at first sight? And also tell us about your two amazing children, please.
No, it was not love at first sight. No, it was my 18th birthday, and I was having a party with my friends. And Ian's brother was going out with my friend at the time. And so his brother was at my party. Ian was supposed to be going out to Trax. Does anybody remember? Is Trax still a thing? No. And he had hidden his money under the his mattress. You don't still do that. I'm all right to say that. I would know anyway. I make the bins. But his brother stole his money, so we had no money left to go out. So all his mum had was a tenner, so he came to take and go to Trax. So he rang up his brother and he said, look, can I come to the party you're at? And he came along, and that's how we met. And I'm the hostess with the mostest. He was at my party, so I stood and plagued him. And he didn't talk much, and I like to talk a lot. So if you don't talk to me, I will keep on talking until you talk back, which will happen. But no, it wasn't love at first sight. Ian had no hair, less than he has now, and he had this little teeny bit of hair just under his lip. I think it was a patch test for what he has now. It must have been. So no, it wasn't. But we had an instant connection, a really good friendship from the start, and that's what led to us being married. But we have two children, Corey, and he's 22, and Finlay came a long time later, and she's 7.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I could never understand what these wee, I've got a wee goatee, as you know, but I could never understand what this wee thing. What was that about, Ian?
To tickle the bottom lip.
To tickle the bottom lip. Right, we'll quickly move on. So, Sharon, how did you come to know Jesus as your Saviour? And what has the journey been like?
I can't tell mine without telling Alan's, because they're connected. Alan went out one Sunday evening to visit friends of ours. Was unusual. It's not something he did. We didn't have a car at the time. But I never even questioned him, which had to be God. So anyway, he was very late coming home, and I was like a bear with a sore head by that time, and didn't want to talk to him. So he said to me, I have something to tell you. He said, I've given my life to Jesus. And I went, what? And it transpired that he had bought a book called Time of Trial in the secondhand bookshop, which he thought was about the fellow who was a spy, but it was his wife's story about getting saved. He devoured the book on the Friday and Saturday, in his work on Saturday afternoon, God spoke to him and said, it's now or never. It was either two or three times God said that to him. So, I mean, he was always a good husband and father, but, I mean, the change was just immediate. Loved the Word of God from just day one. Unfortunately, I didn't react awfully well. I had Christian friends, and I used to sit and talk to them, and I had no problem, but it just something lit in me. And I did. I gave him a hard time for 10 months. If he went to go out, I sometimes was okay, sometimes not. But anyway, through all that time, there was times I was, I believed in God from no age. I always knew he was there. But I was crying out to God, but at the same time, because there was no answers, you know, I thought he didn't hear me. But anyway, Alan went to the Christian Centre off and on with Hilda, the same friend that introduced him to me. And he asked me to go with him. So I went one Sunday night. And I've lost my train of thought here. I went one Sunday night and I liked it. It was lively. You know, it was Pentecostal, stroke charismatic. So he asked me a fortnight later to go, and I went. And the bit I forgot to say about Alan getting saved, the friends he went to panicked and asked another set of friends to come and lead Alan to the Lord, and they said no. So they rang another lot of friends, which was Drew Barr. And Drew led Alan to the Lord that night. So that night in the Christian Centre, Drew Barr appeared again and led me to the Lord. So he did. But because Alan's was so immediate and all, I just kind of went into my shell and didn't want to talk over the next couple of days. And again, Drew Barr sent a Bible down to my house. And that broke it in me, and that I knew you was saved. So that was me. It's been a hard journey at times. We've had hard things to walk through. So I have. But God has been faithful in it all. And even sort of from Christmas through January and in February, just things were tough, they were hard. But again, God has come in and lifted me again, as he always does. He's just faithful.
So thankful, aren't we, for those people, those friends and associates and contacts who, you know, are there at those important times in our journey. We thank God for Drew and for Val, because I'm sure they've journeyed with you a lot as well, especially in those early days. So well done. Thank you so much. B, what age were you, if you don't mind telling us, when you gave your life over to Jesus? And if there's been a particular highlight, maybe you would let us know, please. Thank you.
Okay. Well, as I was 24 when I got saved, in case I forget to say the age. As I was growing up, we were all sent to the Gospel Hall Sunday School each Sunday afternoon. And we also were sent along to the Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. So I knew from a very young age that I needed to be saved. And as I got older, I suppose I went to work, started to go out, and dances became a big part of my life. I always intended to get saved, but you know, I always put it off. I got married at 21, 16 months later I had Andrew. My father at that time attended a church, and the minister had moved to Coleraine, so he asked him if he would come and visit me. It was the Reverend Park from Coleraine Independent Methodist. So he came and he visited us and he invited us to church. I went along some Sunday evenings and God began to speak to me again. God spoke to me many times when I was growing up, but I just kept putting it off. And each night, the Reverend Park made an appeal and I intended to raise my hand, but I always found myself walking out the door and not doing it. But one night I had my mind made up. I'd been troubled all week and had my mind made up that I would respond to the appeal. Went along that night and was a different speaker. He didn't make an appeal. But going out, he gave everybody a booklet called Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. I took the booklet home, but hours later I went into labour with my second child, Raymond. But when Raymond was about 2 weeks old, I still had no peace. And I was in the house of my own with the baby one Sunday afternoon, got my booklet out and got my Bible out, And you know, there and then I asked God to save me. I asked him for forgiveness and to cleanse me and come into my heart. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. And I felt in my heart that that was my last opportunity. You know, if I hadn't taken that opportunity, God's spirit might never have strove with me again. The highlight probably for me was teaching Sunday school in this church for about 13 years and sowing seeds into young people. I often think about those days. And you know, whenever some of the young people came to be baptized and they said about things they'd learned in my Sunday school class, I just felt, you know, thank you, God, for giving me that opportunity. And Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Also, a highlight was seeing my four boys baptized in this church and two of my boys serving God on the mission field. Most of you know Andrew, my oldest boy, who served at OM on mission ships and in Nepal. And also my youngest son, John, when he finished his training, I think it was 5 years training, he wanted to give his first skills after training. So he joined when they were refurbishing, I think it was the Dulles or the Locus, one of those ships. And he gave 2.5 years of his skills to refurbish the ship. So those probably, there's been many highlights. And the opportunity to look after children, which I think is my next question.
Thank you so much, Bea. So Melanie, how long have you been saved and how did that come about?
I've been saved 6 years, so not that long. It came about, so we went to Sunday school, GB, church, all of the things whenever you're younger. And as a teenager in my 20s, I slid away. And it was when my mum passed away. So my mum had early onset dementia. And she passed away when she was 65, 6 years ago. And it was on our way. We were driving to her wake, I think it was, or her funeral. And I turned to Ian, and it was a basic question. But it really set the wheels in motion, and it was, who's going to bury us? And also sort of during that time, I had been feeling, so when my granny passed away, I felt her presence. She was a very dominant woman, so it was easy to feel her. But I didn't feel my mum. She was shy, she was quiet, you know, but I knew, even though I wasn't saved, that I knew she was with God. And I desperately wanted to be close to Mum. And so I knew that to be close to Mum again, I needed to be close to God. Because I knew that she was with him. And so 2 weeks later we sort of talked about we did the funeral and did all that, and then we sat Corey down and we said, you know, we're thinking about going to church and trying this church. And Corey said to us, you know, I've been building up the courage. I wanted to talk to you, and I really want to try this church as well. And so we knew then that that's where God was leading us. He knew that we knew that that's where we needed to be. And so Ian and Corey went. Finlay was still really young. I wasn't sure how to handle grief and church and a young child. And so they went off, loved it. Ian got saved, and I joined. They went in the... Mum died in the January. They started in the February, and I went in the May. I got saved in the September. So I loved it. And that's how I got saved.
Lovely. Thank you so much. So, Sharon, I think this is our last question for yourself. What is God saying to you at this time in your walk with him?
At the minute, it's just very basic. It's trust. There's a lot of circumstances going on, family and things at the minute. And he's just deepening my trust in him. And I've seen him even lately working, because as you know, Alan's daddy is not well. And I've seen God's hand in getting him into the hospital and the home and him being content. So that is basically it. You know, just to trust him and leave everything with him. you know, because I would have been very much a worrier years ago, definitely. At the time, some of you know that my son's fiance and the baby she was carrying at the time was killed in a car accident. And God used that to deepen my trust in him then, but he's still doing it now, and at the minute I just feel just so much closer to him, and it just at the minute seems to be much easier to just hand everything over to him, you know, and I would like it to stay that way. I know sometimes it's not always easy, but that's it basically.
That's so good, because you know, I think we can all relate to that. It is simple, but it's profound. It sounds simple to fully trust the Lord, doesn't it? It sounds simple and basic and something that we should all be doing. But in reality, it is a hard thing to do, to hand over situations that we're dealing with completely over to the Lord. So thank you for sharing that. Sharon, that's really, really important that we do hear that. So, B, on to your last question, and I know you've been chomping at the bit to tell us about this. So when I read out earlier about the different types of mums that there are, I think that you fall into three of these categories. So the question that I had put to you was, you have a lot of children. You've got your boys, and we've heard a little bit about them. You've got your stepchildren, and then you've got your foster children. So can you tell us who they are and how God's hand has been on your life and their lives down through the years?
Well, between William and I, there are 8 children. William has 2 girls, which are oldest. One is married with 3 children. His oldest boy, Edwin, is married, 2 girls, and he farms with William. Youngest boy is also called William. He's married and works for BT. I have 4 boys, Andrew, who is a teacher, Raymond, who works for INLA, Roger, who is a manager and rides bus, and John is self-employed. When the boys grew up, although I worked full-time in the Northern Trust, God put in my heart to foster children. I suppose the boys had grew up and I missed children in the house. So when I first said it to William, he wasn't really that keen, to be honest, but he says, I'll go along to get your box ticked. But after going for the first 2 sessions, he said to me, he got into it. He said it's a world he didn't know existed. So that was him on the hook. So for 13 years ago, we began to foster, and to date we have welcomed 20 children into our home. Some maybe for one night of an emergency, some a few nights or months, and 2 whom a lot of you know, who's been with us for 11 and a half years. And what a blessing we find it is to care for the lives of these young people. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, how I come to live where I live, I believe was all part of God's plan. The turns and twists in my life, steering me to where I am, couldn't have happened any other way other than God's plan. In 1988, when I found myself bringing up my 4 boys alone, God gave me clearly 2 promises which I held on to and I still hold on to this day. The first one is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. "Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave you, I will not forsake you." The second promise was found in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And with God's help, I sought to do just that. And you know, I'm still holding on to that promise. It doesn't say they'll not stray, but they'll not depart. And I'm trusting God to bring back the 2 boys that no longer walk with God. God has blessed me abundantly. And although I carry scars, as we maybe all do, the scars remind me of healing. They remind me of God's goodness to me. God has protected me. God has helped me in so many ways. And you know, I didn't have any family members. My nearest family is 30 miles away. But God sent, you know, God has people lined up to help you when you need help. And when I look down the night and I see Johnny Matthews sitting in front of me, his family helped me so. They were instrumental, not only for me, but also for my boys. And you know, I fail God many times, but when I go back to the place where I started, the foot of the cross, I find forgiveness, I find cleansing, because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And tonight I would just say, if God puts something in your heart to do, like people used to say to me, how do you ever do everything that you do? And you know something, if God asks you to do something, he will give you the strength. It's not your strength. He will give you the strength to fulfill that task. And you know, all I can say is like David, the Lord has done great things for me. Whereof I am glad I'm not getting any younger. And just retired a year and a half ago, but God's not finished with me yet. And I just say thank you for saving my soul.
Isn't that amazing? I've often said you've got a heart like a lion. And although you've retired, I remember you telling us that one morning, I think you'd, I don't know if it was workmen or people who had landed around at the house, and there was maybe at that stage just very little maybe in the fridge, and you just whipped up 60 pancakes like that. Just like that, in about 2 minutes flat. I don't think the pancakes were flat, mind you. Last question for Melanie, last question of the evening. Melanie, what do you believe that God has in store for you and your family?
Oh, I think God wants me to be rich. It's all under the mattress. No, I, honest answer, I have no clue. I've heard God so clearly in so many ways, and I have thought, my mind goes at 100 miles an hour, and I think, oh yes, there, God wants me to do this. Definitely, this is what's going to happen. This is where we need to be, and then we go there, and it doesn't work out that way. And so, it's hard. And so, I've learned to just be at peace, and that's where I am right now. Honestly, I'm just at peace, and I think that my mind has quietened in the last 2 weeks. And I think that's how I know I'm supposed to be. I'm here where I'm supposed to be. In everything, and I can just hope that God leads me where he wants to, but where we are is where we're supposed to be right now.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Just two wee things to pick up on that. I remember probably not many weeks after you and Ian and Corey and Finlay had come to the church and were just chatting. I think it was Ian who said that that you knew that this was a safe place. I think I remember you saying that. And you know, that really, that touched me. It touched my heart because we are a welcoming church. Everyone says how warm and friendly that Ballymoney Edom is as a church and as a fellowship. But that really, really touched my heart for somebody to say that this was a safe place. And we want to continue to cultivate this being a safe place for people to come to. And to continue their journey with Jesus. The other thing is, too, that I think that you're involved in a life group as well, which is the Friday morning one, which Desi and Dorothy would run. And although this is in the note, isn't in the notes, would you take just maybe 30 or 60 seconds and just tell us, you know, how much you're enjoying that?
I love it. I've never been part of a life group before. They are incredible people, so supportive. And it's so nice to have people that you have things in common with, and you can talk about the Lord and how much you love the Lord, and there's no judgment, and there's no you can say anything. In fact, Ian gave a testimony on Friday, his testimony, and it's a scary testimony. You know, it's a lot, and they were so supportive, and the messages that we got afterwards, and we love it, and it's so important for that fellowship. It's so important to know that you're not alone in this journey with God, that there are like-minded people, because out It's so hard. Our day-to-day lives, being out there dealing with all sorts in the physical world is really difficult. And so if you can have people that you can lean on, and fantastic people at that, join one if you can, seriously.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, we endorse fully life groups, and yet we know that maybe it's not for everybody, and we appreciate that we have on a Tuesday night, we have our prayer meeting and Bible study, and there are people who love to come to that, and that's, you know, seen very much as the backbone of the church, you know, prayer and study of God's word. But there's a place for both, and I know that there are some people who have recently come to the church and who are settling with us, who are settled with us, who have been asking about life groups. And just to say that Mark and Yvonne Miller have been away for a few weeks sporting themselves in Dubai, I think it is. Maybe back tonight or tomorrow, I'm not sure. So if anyone has an interest in talking about joining a life group, please see Mark Miller and he will chat with you, because again, we just need to organise where's the best place, what is capacity in one thing or another. Listen, ladies, thank you so much. I know it's not easy sitting here with a really handsome looking fella, but you've endured that, and thank you so much for sharing your story and bearing your hearts. Can we once again say thank you to them?
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.